about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Serving as a juror in a high-profile case is never easy, and this case will be no exception. Before opening arguments, I want to thank you for your service.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
You're a big fan of Limp Bizkit then, right?
Of who?
Limp Bizkit.
Yeah, I guess I am.
We don't like you. At your very best, you were like a circus bear who would stumble around for the crowd to laugh at. Now, when they trot you out, it is just sad. Somebody should have taken you behind the tent and shot you years ago.
So you do not have children?
No living children, no.
All right.
Not that I know of.
Your technique lacks a sense of style.
And now.
Some people, it just won't connect with, you know. It won't click, you know. Some people, they just won't get it. It's just not for them.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday morning, the 22nd of April. Already? Already. That's how you start.
I'm discombobulated here.
But that's how you start.
Right, but I'm holding things in this hand and moving things with that hand.
Morning, everybody.
I'm not in my regular spot.
Right. That doesn't mean you have to karate chop the microphone.
This isn't New Orleans. What happened? What happened?
Guys, I'm terrified about getting my tattoo.
Yes.
Today. You know what I feel like? I feel like you do when you go in for surgery. When you're having a surgery, even though everybody in the world says you're going to survive it, you're not going to die at the table, you're going to be fine, these people are professionals, they're going to hook you up, you still have that tiny little bit of worry that you'll never come out of the anesthesia. You know what I mean?
You're not getting anesthesia.
I know he is. We've gotten that for him.
Yeah. I wish I could get anesthesia, just wake up and have it all be over. But you know what I mean? Even though millions of people around the world have gone through the process.
Hundreds of times each.
Yes. I haven't. I haven't gone through the process.
Right.
So for me, it's terrifying.
You're not. Your terror is overriding the excitement for it?
Absolutely.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
No, I think I'll be thrilled afterwards. Like, I think I'll wake up tomorrow and I'll be like, that was great. I'm glad I did that. I'm excited about it.
But let's hope so.
Wouldn't that be funny if you didn't?
Yeah.
No, what did I do?
But
Nico, can you cover it up?
He gets a cover up the same week.
Off his skin.
It's just hanging. Yeah.
I may just have the arm taken off. I may just be like, you know what?
Just remove the arm?
I can't deal with it. Just cut it off at the shoulder. But I mean, that's reasonable. Jensen, the first time you got a tattoo, were you nervous?
Yes.
But well, you were in prison, too.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, it was rough because they were using a needle and the guy's name was Jeff.
Jeff?
Yeah, it said prison name. But I think for me...
It's a terrifying prison moniker.
Yeah, his real name is Ricardo.
That's weird.
Yeah. Mine was on my wrists, which is never a great place because there's not a lot of sun there. And within a couple of minutes, I'm like, oh, these are like bee sting. A little bee sting every once in a while.
Well, I like bee stings, so that should be good.
Yeah, you have a fetish. Yeah, no, it's fine. You'll be good.
Okay. All right.
I mean, dare I say, I even after a while start to
like it.
Yeah. Well, I think that's why so many people go back for additional tattoos is because they kind of get hooked on that.
In
that
6 months, Bean is just going to be sleeved.
Full sleeve.
Totally.
I already told you, my second one's already picked out. It's going to be on the tape. That's going to be my second tattoo. And you'll never know what it says.
Taint too. Chip.
All right. Well, anyway, that's
it. Time for the thing.
We have time for the thing.
All right.
That's going to happen, and we'll discuss with Dave and Christine later about what the plan is for online, because I think they're going to be doing some live streaming, at least for some of it.
Do you want people to see you sobbing? Something you're looking forward to?
I feel like people are interested in the art, and they will be interested in seeing how it comes together.
Right.
Sure.
But
absolutely.
That's separate from you crying.
Yes.
I'm just saying.
They're going to have to shoot from above with you and Fetal.
Right.
And Nico just tattooing you while you're just shaking.
Sir, please stop shaking.
I just keep thinking about Travis Parker.
He is all janky because he can't. He
Travis
won't stay
Parker
still.
Coming in here and getting a tattoo during an interview.
Yeah.
It was nothing.
Sitting here with his arm out like this.
Travis gets tattooed. Who's on top of tattoos now?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also think
it's going to be you.
Nico's so talented. It's going to be a soft hand. You're not going to feel it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Here's the thing, you guys. I wasn't aware that, you know, there's a lot of sports to follow right now, obviously, with the NHL playoffs, with the NBA playoffs, with baseball heating up. The football schedule is out. I mean, a lot of people have a lot of things to concentrate on. But I didn't realize that the Tiddlywinks Championship, the World Championships, are happening this week.
I don't know what Tiddlywinks is. I've heard of it, but I don't know what it is.
Tiddlywinks?
The little kid thing?
The little
that they
kid
play?
Game where you have these little plastic discs and you kind of, it's kind of like beer pong in that you kind of like clip the edge of it and get it to shoot up into a cup.
So it's beer pong for the 3 to 5 year olds.
Yeah. Okay. But this is the Tiddlywinks World Championship, guys. In 1995, Sports Illustrated likened Larry Kahn and David Lockwood to the Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier of Tiddlywinks.
Shut up.
A fearsome metaphor for two men who, in the parlance of their game, spend their time squapping and potting rather than bobbing and weaving. Kahn, Larry Kahn, has won how many national and world Tiddlywinks titles?
22. He's holding it down.
22.
Uh-huh.
Allie?
47.
Ooh, 47, Jensen.
7.
114.
What is going on? Baller. Why is he so dominant?
He's what?
He's got rules.
He's the Muhammad Ali. Yeah.
He rules in something no one cares about. And that's fascinating.
And he never gets laid with that 114 championship. Mm. You should see his trophy room. It's insane. David Lockwood has won just 41, so I'm stunned that they even mention him in this article. When they are not competing against each other, they make a formidable pair. As a duo, they have won 5 international titles together, but they have not won a title, you guys, in 21 years. They're going for their 6th title
pathetic.
Together at the annual Tiddlywinks World Championships happening this week at the University of Cambridge.
You're moving there. You're moving to a country that has a Tiddlywinks championship.
At Cambridge, by the way.
All this means is that next year I'll get to see this in person. Or follow
compete.
Me here.
Compete.
Oh. Oh.
Rocky montage. Teen working on Tiddlywinks.
Tiddlywinks is not what you did when you were 5 years old, said Lockwood. Tournament Tiddlywinks is a fascinating combination of physical skill at a micro level and positional strategy. Look. You've seen these guys that come out on Kimmel or something like that, and they're the World Cup Stacking Champions.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
Or they solve a Rubik's Cube with their feet or whatever it is they do. And you always go, okay, I don't care. That's not me. But somebody cared enough about that to become among the best in the world at it.
Did somebody solve a Rubik's Cube with their feet?
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah. That's a thing?
Yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah, wow. And a world record with his feet. We featured that on the show about, what do you guys think? 3 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Played the audio from that?
Yeah, about 3 weeks.
Decent chance I wasn't here.
That's
back
true.
To you.
In case you're curious about fun Tiddlywinks facts.
Not.
It was first patented in 1888.
Wait, shouldn't you pause and get an answer?
1888. And the tournament game began in Cambridge in 1955. This better be live streamed, you guys. Did you know that there is a strategy in Tiddlywinks where you flick your winks on top of their opponent's discs to take them out of play? You not only have to defend the ones you've got, you have to attack the ones they haven't got.
These
sounds
are
like cornhole.
Sex moves.
It does sound
flip
like
flip your
it.
Tiddlywink on top of a disc?
All I know.
Right, I'm listening.
One more. Lockwood, the one with the 114 championship, says the game has changed his life. I've been to Britain more than 100 times since I started playing, mostly to play Tiddlywinks. Mr. Kahn says the game has also enriched his lives. And they say the best part is belonging to the winking community and all the friendships they've gained.
The winking community.
That's sweet. All boys, of course.
I don't see any competitive female Tiddlywinksers.
Actually, I don't see any females in the photo of the entire championship.
They are out there to show that the old guys still got it, though. So,
yeah.
Anyway, we wish them well, and I will be broadcasting live from Tableside.
As you compete.
On Friday morning, doing the play-by-play.
Right. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
It just keeps, like, almost hitting me in the face.
Oh. Wow.
Sorry about that, man.
April Foolishness tickets, ringside seats.
That's this Friday, you guys.
That's this Friday.
I got to start writing my battle rap.
Same.
You haven't started yet?
Not really. I wrote down a whole bunch of words that I want to hit.
Uh-huh.
Because you're effing weird. So there's a whole plethora of things that I could choose from.
I mean, in person, does it feel different?
It does.
Yeah.
It stings a little bit. It's like a lot of tiny little bee stings.
Yeah. Well, good luck. You'll be feeling that later.
Bean's getting a tattoo this Friday. He's a little nervous, so we're going to take tattoo horror stories.
It's actually today. I'm actually getting it
bad
today.
Feeling he's getting it today.
Everything went wrong with your tattoo. We want you to tell Bean that story to calm him down.
Oh, I'm sure there are people who passed out and bled out.
I'm not sure anyone bled out. But...
bled out. It's not Vietnam. It's a tattoo shop.
People are dumb on the program today.
Yeah, they are.
We've got your opening act, top 10 that we're going to announce. And we've got great news, like we do on Mondays. And what's Bean's mystery break? I'm afraid of that.
I mean, it doesn't mean it has anything to do with you.
It does, though.
Well, not at all. It could be. It literally could
95% of the time.
I mean, I know what it is. Jensen?
I've heard that it's something I need to know about.
We all know what it is. Oh, you don't know what it is.
Well, I've already burned the Tiddlywinks news, so it can't be that. But it'll be something just as good.
I sure hope so. All right, we will take a quick break. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:55.
That's Allie McKay over there.
Bean, yeah. It's you over there.
In person.
I see you.
We could actually touch if we wanted to. We don't, but
what's
I'm saying.
What's happening?
No, I'm just saying we're in the same
room. HR, please.
We're in the same room is what I'm saying.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't suggesting it.
Okay.
All right.
Why are you wiping the side of your mouth, though? What's going on?
Because I've been licking my lips since you walked in, baby.
All right.
It is Monday morning, 5:55. Allie is here with our first look at what's happening for a brand new week.
Any of you take the time to watch the little Sunday service yesterday, Kanye?
I know our hip-hop correspondent attempted it.
I put an hour in, and then it was like, nah.
That was it.
Yeah.
What happened in that hour?
A lot of walking around. Number one, Coachella only let you see it through a pinhole. Which was the oddest decision.
It was like a weird fisheye circle.
Yeah, just may I say, for Sunday service, it was a glory hole. you could see through, and you would see, I'm telling you, for the first 20 minutes, it was instrumental, piano, and people walking.
For 20 minutes?
20 minutes, yeah.
Yeah, you didn't even see him until 9:50. So kicked off at 9 a.m., you didn't even see him until 9:50, and he didn't even get on the mic, really, for another hour after that.
Oh, my God.
So he was dancing, playing the piano, directing the choir, but didn't really get on the mic until he performed All Falls Down. And then followed it up by the premiere of his new song, Water.
Which I did end up hearing later. No, okay. I was out by then.
You were out.
How's your song?
It doesn't sound great.
Okay.
But really? It's also, I don't know. It was just a real small excerpt, and it was like a singing part. So I don't know if I should judge it from that.
Okay.
But it was like very much like this, if you want to. Water! We're all like, water! That's literally what
that's it?
Like. Wow. Yeah. I don't
know. Like, I love it.
That was what it sounded like.
Oh, Kevin needs more. I'm over it.
Need more.
Okay.
Final hour featured DMX giving a prayer, Chance the Rapper performing Ultralight Beam, and then a huge rendition of Jesus Walks.
Which is probably, I'm sure, the highlight of the whole
thing. The highlight, absolutely.
Really could have been the whole thing, though. Yeah. Walk out, do Jesus Walks. Good night, everybody.
A lot of gospel, though.
A lot of gospel. Several times it looked like members of the choir as well as Kanye were breaking down in tears.
I'm sorry for the realness.
Uh-huh. Here's the part where I broke down in tears. According to photos, a tent marked church clothes offered up Kanye sweatshirts from $165 to $225.
What? He was selling those?
$50 socks.
I am very disappointed Jensen did not come in this morning with the $50 Kanye socks.
I should have just mimicked them.
Awesome.
Merchandise read, Trust God, Jesus Walks, Sunday Service, and Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not so upset that he was selling them, because, you know, who shouldn't make a buck off of Jesus? I was upset at all you white people in line waiting to pick up that $225 sweatshirt.
I thought it was, I mean, normally when you give money at Sunday service, you don't get anything back.
That is true.
So I thought it was like,
it was a bargain.
Yeah. At least you get something.
$225 for a sweatshirt. And the line, people were waiting literally for hours to buy them until they sold out.
That's insane.
And they are, if you saw it at Target, you'd be like, why would I ever buy that?
Yeah.
Absolutely. There's nothing to it that makes you think this is a great sweatshirt.
Why does he still claim to be a fashion designer when nothing he's ever made has been watchable?
Because people buy it.
He made burlap sacks popular.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're a weird people.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'll say.
I'm a superhero.
Take it easy.
I love this because the title for the box office is The Curse of La Llorona. Tops terrifyingly low slow Easter. Really? Was it terrifyingly low slow Easter? $26.5 million for that movie, which actually not bad. Because it had a $9 million budget.
Yeah, wow. Those horror movies, man.
Did pretty darn well. Shazam landed in second place with another $17 million. That makes its domestic total $121 million and just over $300 million for the global total. Then the faith-based film Breakthrough came in third, followed by Captain Marvel, which was pushed out over the last weekend. So it is back at number four. A lot of people think because people are trying to watch all of the Avengers before Endgame comes out.
Kevin, you're going to bring us up to speed before Endgame on what we've missed
absolutely.
So far, right?
Okay. Yeah. Please.
You can fill us in on the last 22 movies.
All over it.
I'll need it.
Excellent.
I can do that in about 3 minutes.
Wow. Uh-huh. Impressive.
Yeah.
Ooh. Completing the top five was Little, which made $8.3 million in its second weekend out, totaling $29 million. But again, terrifyingly slow Easter. Yeah.
I think $26 million is sort of average, isn't it?
Pretty good.
For number one, yeah.
For a horror movie. Yeah. About, yeah. I mean, it, no stars. Easter, yeah. Seems good.
Look, it's profitable.
Yeah.
I just remember seeing the trailer of that movie and thinking, why are you all pronouncing her name incorrectly? I'll have to go back and watch it, but they don't pronounce it La Llorona. They pronounce it like something totally different.
So as a Mexican, you're very upset about that?
Thank you for noticing!
Masaclan.
Finally! Just really upset me. You feel me.
I tried to go to that.
Yeah?
Got there about a half hour late.
Oh, yeah.
Because I thought it started a little later.
Uh-huh.
So then I just went to another movie.
What'd you see?
I saw Hotel Mumbai. Anyone?
No.
Do you guys remember the real story from...
Oh, yeah, I know the movie.
10 years ago, 15 years ago?
I was going to say...
When terrorists took over the hotel?
I think it was about 4 years ago.
Was it four?
Wasn't it?
I don't
know. Mumbai?
I thought you said Hotel for Dogs, so
No. Hotel Mumbai, and it was Dev Patel was in it.
Oh, okay. Oh, we love him.
It was great. Okay. It was really good.
2008 at the Taj Mahal Palace.
10 years!
Oh, yeah. Right. Well done, Kevin.
So this was a comedy?
No. Oh. Not a comedy. It was really good, though.
Yeah?
Yeah. Back to you.
You know, there ought to be a way where they can post the start times of movies so people don't just show up
and
go,
guess.
Oh,
you
what time is it?
No, it's a tradition. Just walk in and guess.
I was in the lobby yelling that same thing.
Yeah, it would make sense.
No one told me.
Put out a schedule.
We'll get there one day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Maybe it's something you invent, Kevin.
I mean, it's a great idea.
Mm-hmm. Some birthdays for you guys. Jeffrey Dean Morgan, John Waters, Jack Nicholson, Amber Heard, and Machine Gun Kelly.
Your mic was on. I just want to say that.
Oh, when I was coughing? Oh, sorry.
My bad.
I'm new here.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Bean is getting tattooed today.
First ever.
And he's a little scared.
Yeah.
A little scared. Sorry. Turn yours on as well.
Friday, though, we did talk to one of the greatest tattoo artists. Jensen, would you say, like his mic's going to be out, would you say on Earth one of the greatest tattoo?
I'd say.
Oh, sorry, my bad.
I'd say, top
going
five.
Well.
And he was awesome, and I'm going to be seeing him in a few hours, but here's our conversation with the great Nico Hurtado. You guys, Kevin Bean's 11th annual April Foolishness is happening this Friday.
What?
It's happening.
Is this in the news?
It was. And we're going to unveil some of the contestants that you can vote for to be the opening act. Coming up in about 15 minutes or so from right now. First, though, I understand that people are not bright.
People are dumb.
Boy, 11 years old, has surgery to remove 70 magnetic balls from his...
stomach, I would assume.
Penis.
Oh,
penis.
And he's a boy?
Yes, he is a boy.
No, not a man is what I'm saying.
Oh, he's a boy.
Yeah.
He was 11.
Oh, my gosh.
Afraid to tell his parents what he was doing. But my question is, 3, 4, 5?
Right.
Like, is that not painful? And then 10, and then 20, 70.
Why do you keep loading him in there?
I don't know.
How is there that much room?
I've only gotten to 12.
You have? Oh.
He was taken to the Children's Hospital on Sunday night after he complained of pains in his belly.
Oh.
Odd. The x-ray showed a shadow in his bladder. They went in to do surgery. They couldn't, because they were magnetic, they couldn't take more than one out at a time.
Oh, my gosh. So he put it in the top,
mm-hmm.
and then it would go into his bladder?
Not,
it would somehow migrate?
I would think so, yes.
My
That's what
gosh.
It sounded like.
That's
70.
He's a medical miracle.
Yeah. When did he start? Does it say?
It doesn't say.
I wonder if he's been doing it since he was like 4 or 5. Like, you don't just get 70 in there when you're 10, right?
That's a challenge. Beer mom, come on in here.
I can't wait to see what he does when he grows up.
Yeah.
Tao said that doctors at the hospital encountered 2 or 3 similar cases per year, with the boys tending to be aged 10 to 15 because they're stupid. And the inserted items include electric wires, needles,
oh,
And in one case, an 8-centimeter ear scoop.
Okay.
I don't even know what that is.
I don't either, sure. But I don't like it.
Look, yeah. We've long had a policy on this program. There are some parts of your body, and this is one of them, that are exit only.
Okay.
Exit only. Kid, learn it, live it, love it.
Student fried $58,000 worth of college computers using a USB killer device. You can buy these online. A USB killer. So you just plug it into any computer that has a USB and it destroys all of the hardware.
Oh. Well, that seems mean.
So he did this for 66 computers at the school that he got his degree from. So he graduated, had a degree, and then went back 2 years later and did this.
Wow.
Makes no sense, but he was careful to document it on his iPhone.
Oh, good. Okay.
I'm about to blow up this computer. Watch this. He puts it in. You see sparks and stuff. He's like, boom! So the police got a warrant and found his phone and saw all of that, and they were like,
We don't have a motive, but I wonder if he could not get a job, and he was mad at the school.
Oh, interesting.
Maybe.
Doesn't say.
Because it's weird.
But he got his degree.
Yeah,
But it meant nothing if he
couldn't work, yeah. But because originally I thought, this is a dude trying to get out of a test or something like that, or his grades or something. But if he'd already graduated, maybe he just had some resentment, but not a cool move.
And to video yourself on your iPhone, maybe not the best.
Don't do that.
Two men in bulletproof vests arrested for shooting each other.
Let them shoot.
You would think this comes from Florida, but it's to Arkansas, man.
Let them shoot.
Have been arrested on suspicion of aggravated assault after police say they shot each other, taking turns wearing a bulletproof vest.
Isn't that interesting that it's aggravated assault when it's voluntary?
Yes. Yeah. I was very surprised by that as well. Reports that 50-year-old Charles Ferris and 36-year-old Christopher Hicks were arrested on Monday. The police said that one of them got angry because it hurt. Mm-hmm. So he maybe this is where the aggravated assault comes in. So he made the other guy put it on and just unloaded it.
This is just product research. I don't understand.
Aren't there lots of people who have done YouTube videos where they shoot
or tasered or tons of them?
Yeah, don't do that.
Are you going to arrest the jackass guys next?
Right.
It sounds like you don't want to live in this America.
No, I'm out.
This one comes from New Mexico. A man in Albuquerque, New Mexico, who got pulled over was found to have a bag containing 44 small cut diamonds hidden in his
butthole.
Got to be anus.
This time it's anus. Police nabbed 23-year-old Esuelo Esuabio Padilla, which I'm sure is right.
I missed the name. Could you say it again, please?
Esuabio Pasadilla. On Sunday.
It was three names the first time.
No, I said it wrong the first time.
Oh, okay. Do one more.
Esquabio Padilla.
Okay.
Good morning to our Latino listeners.
He was riding his motorcycle that had no license plate, so the authorities pulled him over and handcuffed him. And for some reason, he told them, look, I have a baggie of diamonds in my beehole.
Why would you tell them
I don't know. Why would you? Maybe he thought they were going to frisk him and arrest him, and he was going to end up in jail anyway, so they're going to do a thorough search.
Or applaud him. You know what I mean? Like, we're not going to take it from you. That's an impressive move.
Removed a baggie from his butt and dropped it on the ground. Mm. 44.
And it's still there, by the way. No one wants to pick it up.
If you need to rush over there, pick it up. Bring some gloves.
And finally, man spikes co-workers' drinks with LSD to change the negative energy. Missouri cops say.
So far, I'm in.
Change the negative energy. A 19-year-old man admitted to doing this. Here's the report.
I can't believe it. It's ridiculous. I just can't understand why somebody would even think about something like that.
This is what I always love is they talk to people who had nothing to do with it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. In the neighborhood. What do you think of that?
Terrible. They should be arrested.
That was the reaction from just a few people who live in Arnold, Missouri. That's near St. Louis. Police say the man told them his coworkers at Enterprise Rent-A-Car had negative energy, and he wanted them to mellow out.
All right, now I have a question about mellowing out.
Not LSD.
Right?
No.
You want somebody to mellow out? You give them LSD?
Give them a pot brownie.
Right.
So the 19-year-old put LSD in three people's water bottles and coffee cups. Sergeant Tony Dennis with the Jefferson County Sheriff's Department describes the effects of the colorless, odorless liquid.
And this is why you don't put it in there to calm people down.
You're going to have an increased heart rate, increased body temperature, higher blood pressure. It's been described as causing the shakes or tremors.
The workers who drank the LSD were okay once the effects wore off. The man accused of spiking their drinks could face charges now of second-degree assault and possession of a controlled substance.
So don't do that.
Yeah. What about someone with high blood pressure? It could have really affected them. That could be attempted murder.
Yeah, but they would have saw some chill-ass visuals.
Saw a lot of love from the Coachella crowd with Weezer pulling out some Pinkerton classics. Mm-hmm. Weekend number two at Coachella. You're right there that there aren't as many guest stars, but there were some different guest stars for weekend two.
Yeah.
Than there were from weekend
John one. Mayer came out for Khalid, Justin Bieber for Ariana Grande.
Yeah.
It was some good ones.
Yeah, some good ones. Hey, Friday was the deadline for the opening act competition for Kevin and Bean's 11th annual April Foolishness, which is happening Friday at the Microsoft Theater. We have, so far we're 4 for 4 with great opening acts.
Amazing.
And we got over 100, I think, entries this time around for people who want to open up the show for Felipe Esparza and Jamie Lee and Ray Romano, Greg Fitzsimmons, Eddie Ift, Adam Ray. Now is the time to start hearing some of those and directing people to Kerouac.com so they can cast their vote who they want to see open the show on Friday night at the Microsoft Theater.
The first one, I have some clips, but not clips from everybody because we don't have time. The first one is Reed Buck.
Like, I look like that douchebag. All I'm missing is a Letterman jacket, and I'm that douchebag in the horror movies who's always like, hey, guys, I think we should split up. That guy. And they always listen to him, too. Who is this piece of that ruins everyone's life?
Not bad so far.
I mean, you have to see him. He does look like that.
He does. That's true, yeah. Tamer Katan is this guy.
I'm not a regular Arab. I have a Muslim father and a Jewish mother. Oh, thank you. Silence and a rumble of concern. That's perfect. That was the sound of the wedding.
Not bad, right?
He's super funny. Yeah.
Pretty good.
There's one good thing, whether you like Donald Trump or you don't like Donald Trump, one good thing about Donald Trump, we can all agree, when that guy finds out about the aliens, we're going to find out too. That's pretty cool. There's no way that guy's keeping it a secret. That day, he'll be tweeting, oh my God, at Area 51, so cool, so many aliens here. Obama didn't tell you about him. Sad.
And that's Jeff Keith. So we have the top 10. Do we want to read them all just to make sure that everybody gets...
By the way, I hope that guy's right, and I hope that Donald Trump does spill the beans on the aliens.
I know.
I feel like there's been a lot that's been covered up over the years.
For sure.
Thanks, Obama.
And you've wanted nothing more than aliens your entire life.
I'm terrified that I'm going to miss it. Terrified. I want to be here.
Why are you terrified? Don't you mean disappointed?
No, terrified. If I die, when I'm 108 or whatever I end up being, and I die, and the aliens haven't effing come yet, I'm going to be pissed.
Okay.
That may keep me alive another year. Just waiting for those aliens. You don't want to miss that. That'll be the greatest achievement in world history. To have be visited. All right, we're getting off topic here.
Yes.
We're getting off topic. All right, who are the opening act competitors here that we can go to Kerouac.com and vote right now to open the show on Friday?
We have Gerardo Alarcon. We have Reed Buck. We have Emily Catalano. We have Zach Cappellini.
I think it's Cappelloni.
Okay. Good enough. Sherry Cola. Jordan Conley, Kayla Crawford, Tamar Catton, and Jeff Keith. Those are your top 10, and you can go to K-Rock all week long for the next, 3 days and vote for whoever you'd like.
And by the way, we ought to mention that tickets are still on sale at AXS.com, including the ringside tickets, which includes the access to the pre-party VIP party and ringside bag. You can buy them at AXS.com. That's hanging out with us before the show. And we should mention the Kevin and Bean rap battle that is happening. Beatboxer Joshua from Jensen's TV show Drop the Mic is actually going to be providing fat beats for us that night.
Oh, boy.
It's not going to
Is my understanding.
Yeah. No, you're dead right when you say that.
I mean, fat beats, right?
Yes, very fat, yes.
But with an F.
Yes.
In our case.
Yeah. And we have special guests that we haven't even really told anyone.
Correct.
About.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I forgot Elise Marie, by the way, is one of the top 10. So you can go to krock.com. You can vote. And on, I believe, Friday, you'll get a chance we'll announce the top 10. We'll announce the winner.
And then beer mug comes to your house, right?
And then beer mug comes to your house. That's the bad side.
Right.
And the good side is you get to open up April Foolishness. So between now and, I believe, Thursday morning, you can vote at... Let's say that you got a tattoo and something went terribly wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh. We'd like to hear from
you. That's not me yet.
We'd like to hear from you in the next hour.
Come on.
No. We want to take some tattoo horror stories.
I'm already nervous enough about it.
Oh, no, this is to let you know that it's all good.
How does that let me know that it's all good?
Not sure. Also, great news coming up in just a second.
First, Ali is here with what's happening on a Monday morning.
You guys, HBO and Beyonce have a great relationship, right? They did 2016's Lemonade together. 2014, they did the On the Run tour concert special with Beyonce and Jay-Z. 2013, they did the doc Life is But a Dream. Great relationship, right?
Right.
Which is why it comes to no surprise that Netflix is who signed the three-project deal with Beyonce, because they got more money, is what I'm reading between the lines here. Great relationship with HBO, but I'm going to go to Netflix for a three-project deal worth $60 million.
Wow.
Thank you for that. Yeah. Of course, the first of three specials was Homecoming, which premiered on April 17th, the behind-the-scenes doc of her getting ready to do her Coachella set. Bean, you had to have watched it.
Oh, of course.
What did you think?
It's phenomenal.
Amazing, right?
Yeah. It's so great. I love seeing her right after she had the twins.
Right.
And kind of getting back into rehearsing and practicing and kind of learning how to dance again. You know what I mean? Getting her body back in shape. And the way her vision is, I know she has help with choreographers and everything, but her vision with hundreds of people on stage knowing exactly what everybody should be doing is amazing.
And before even the people are put on the stage, she knows how it's going to look, how it's going to go down. She's got
a
mind.
She's quite an artist.
Unlike a lot of people, it's amazing.
I was shocked at the shape she has to get into.
Oh, yeah.
And you saw in Homecoming, it was the best workout I've ever seen. And you just see her body transforming through the whole thing.
Yeah, she's a goddess.
All right.
By the way, speaking of Lemonade, you know that album, which is the album that should have won the album of the year when Stupid Adele got it.
a good week to do that, by the way.
I am really, I know. I am really still carrying that grudge. It has been a title exclusive until this coming week.
Yeah.
It's going to be on Spotify. It's going to be on Apple Music. Everybody's going to be able to get Lemonade.
Why so soon?
Which is fantastic news.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Excellent
news. Don't keep that behind that paywall.
Okay, there you have it. And speaking of Adele. Way to knock her when she's down. Adele and her husband, Simon Konecki, have separated. Here is the quote from the singer's reps. Adele and her partner have separated. They are committed to raising their son together lovingly. As always, they ask for privacy. There will be no further comment.
Adele does he.
Yes. Apparently, she's worth about $145 million. And according to the Daily Mail, there was no prenup when they married in 2016. And of course, when it broke that they were separating, immediately people were like, oh, that's so sad. But yay, new album! Right. Which made me so bummed for her. But she's got 19, 21, 25.
Right.
She is 30 years old right now.
Okay.
She turns 31 in May.
Okay.
Right. You're not going to get an album this year. So 32, do we think?
She said after 25 that was the last one that she was going to name after
with
her
numbers?
Age. Yes.
Okay. So it can come out whenever.
That's right.
We're ready.
This one coming up is just called I Hate Simon.
Oh, very specific. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, a rough little breakup for Michelle Williams and her indie musician husband.
This is very confusing to me.
Phil Elverum. They've separated after, less than a year of marriage.
What? They gave it a try.
They got married last summer. Mm-hmm. They've been separated since January.
Yeah.
And they're now divorced. So how long were they together? As husband and wife, 5 months?
5 months?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But how long were they happy? Probably half of that.
Right.
Because then it has to start going south.
And by the way, I think we all feel bad for Michelle, because this is a woman, you know, who obviously lost her husband and waited forever to remarry.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like really, really waited years to finally walk down the aisle again. And this is where it goes.
Wow, Bean's taking this hard.
Yeah. I am. Okay. I felt terrible for her because we love Michelle Williams.
She is a wonderful actress and seems like a genuinely nice human.
Very much.
Well, then it will make you happy that not all is lost. There was a marriage on Saturday in your beloved New Orleans.
That's right.
At the Marigny Opera
Marigny.
House. Right, Marigny. Well, they should spell it different. Michelle Branch and Black Keys' Patrick Carney were married on Saturday. They tied the knot in front of close friends and family, including her 13-year-old daughter and their 7-month-old son. I thought they were married.
No. Well,
they've just been together forever.
Yeah.
Okay.
They live in Nashville, but like so many people, New Orleans is a real wedding destination. So that's why they decided to come down and do it,
Even at the Marigny?
Marini.
Uh-huh. Were you sad that you missed it?
No.
Patrick Carney didn't reach out?
I really have no...
He's more into deaths than he is marriages.
I have no connections really to either of them. I'm happy for them.
Yeah. Would you have gone? I bet they had po' boys.
No, I would not have gone.
Being outside throwing rice.
Yeah. Just angry.
I love.
Some birthdays for you guys. Machine Gun Kelly, Amber Heard, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, John Waters, and Jack Nicholson. And
I'm not going to say it out loud, but because I don't want you to pull the tape. But hey, are you ready for my limp penis, sir?
I'm sorry. I couldn't hear because you were laughing.
I'm not going to say it again.
But I didn't hear. I didn't understand you.
We talked about the video last week of the guy being arrested for dine and dashing. We loved it so much. We can't stop thinking about it. Beer Mug apparently made us a song with the dude.
Gentlemen, this is Democracy Manifest. Have a look at the headlock here. You just assured me that I could speak. See that chap over there? Get your hand off my penis! This is the bloke who got me on the penis before. Penis before. Penis before. Penis before. What is the charge? Eating a meal? Eating a meal? A succulent Chinese meal? Succulent Chinese meal? Nice headlocks up. Nice headlocks up. Nice headlocks up. I see that you know your judo. And you, sir. And you, sir. And you, sir. Are you waiting to receive my limp penis? Now, get your hands off me.
He's everything.
I love that guy so much.
If he were still alive, I would vote for him in 2020.
I'm sorry to say.
All right, great work on that. All right, great work on that beer mug. Hey, tattoo fail stories coming up in about 15 minutes or so here on K-Rock. First, though, it's Monday, and I think you know what that means. Great news.
When you wake up, all you hear is bad news. So bad it makes you want to hit the snooze. Kevin and Bean can make that go away. It's time for great news today.
Great news!
My great news story is a 7-Eleven owner who caught a teen thief. And instead of calling 911, he did something that was very different. It was Saturday night, 7-Eleven in Toledo, Ohio. The store owner, Jay Singh.
Oh, I've been to that one.
I picked the 7-Eleven store just to burn him.
Yeah, I've been to that one.
Spotted somebody who looked very suspicious, saw him putting some stuff in his pockets, and this is the news story.
Singh told an employee to call 911, then he confronted the customer.
He said, oh, I'll put it back. I said, no. Put everything on the counter. I want to see what all things you have in your pocket.
And he wanted him to answer a simple question.
And why are you doing it? He said, I'm hungry. I'm stealing it from myself and my younger brother. I said, you need food? I'll give you food.
Okay, that's not typical.
Wow. Mm-mm.
Guy was stealing from him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he said, if you need food, I'll give you food. Mm. That's amazing.
That's not the problem.
And so he did, filling a bag with food for free and waving off the 911 call.
If the police had shown up, you could have pressed charges against
him. Absolutely.
Why didn't you?
Because he's a young kid. That will go on his records that he was a thief. He cannot do anything in his life. He will not get a good job. He will not... This is not going to solve his hunger problem.
So he didn't file a police report or anything like that because he was worried about the guy's record.
What a sucker.
So nice.
This kid's going to come back and rip him off every single day now.
I don't think that's the point. No.
We asked Singh, who moved to this country in 2007, why he did what he did.
It's basically our Indian culture that if you give food to a hungry person, God will bless you for that.
How great is that?
Wonderful.
He's a good dude.
And that's my great news.
That is great news. Allie, take a look at this photograph of a homeless man named Chris sitting on the street, dejected and sad, in Sydney, Australia. Little sign says, my pet rat Lucy was stolen on Saturday. Lucy is black and white with a bit of brown, Chris. Who steals a pet from a homeless person?
I mean, does a rat just run away?
The rat is his pet, Kevin. The rat has been together with him for years, and he was genuinely distressed to lose the rat. What happened is that's his spot on the sidewalk. He left Lucy, the rat, on a milk crate while he used the nearby restroom. When he came back, the rat was gone. somebody took a picture and put it up on Facebook, and Australia snapped into action to try to get this man's pet rat back. Taking a homeless person's loved pet seriously, what a low act, somebody posted. Please repost this story in the hope that the power of social media may find someone who knows where Lucy is. And it did, in fact, go viral.
Mm-hmm.
It's so sad on many levels, said another writer on Reddit. Homelessness has a lot of mental health, folks, and a pet help helps so much. His existence could have been really tied into his pet. This could really be testing him inside. I hope whoever stole his rat gets struck by lightning or is hit by a truck.
Wow.
Yeah, that's insane.
Good news.
Yeah?
They did not find the rat.
They found a rat.
Yeah, they found
a rat.
Really? And they said, hey, this is yours.
According to a Facebook post,
looks a little different.
The police force was contacted by a passing woman who thought that Lucy had been abandoned and took her home. So she's walking down the street, no Chris, just Lucy, and she says, oh, this poor rat. So she took him home.
Where is this again?
Australia.
Oh, okay. Maybe they just don't have rats all willy-nilly like we do.
Yeah, nobody sees a rat and goes, oh, poor rat, I want to take it home.
In New York, you're like, oh, God, 17th one I've seen in this block.
Lucy was safely retrieved and returned to her rightful owner. In a heartwarming video, officers brought Lucy to Chris in a cardboard box after carefully examining the rat.
Oh, it was dead?
He ate it. He confirmed that it was his beloved pet. Yep, she remembers me, he says in the video, bringing Lucy to his face for a kiss. Sorry to put you through all the trouble. And he thanked the police and the people who banded together to find his pet rat.
Okay, that's sweet.
And by the way, he's kissing this rat on the mouth. And this rat
is tongue.
This rat is kissing him back. They look genuinely excited to be back in each other's company.
Okay.
I think you guys, a rat may not be your pet, but it was Chris's pet. And
I think
it's awesome that he got Lucy back. And that's why this is my great news.
Okay, you guys. I saw this story on CBS Sunday Morning, and I think I cried for about an hour after seeing this.
But wouldn't you have cried for about an hour whether you saw that or not?
Probably. Okay. Probably. But this is a story about what has bound people together in the form of music. And it is a group called the Missing People Choir. And they're a group of people that all have the anguish of a missing loved one, like a child that was kidnapped or maybe an adult that had mental issues, walked away, that they have never found. So what happened was a music producer named James Hawkins said, you know what, I'm going to start a choir. This was back in 2014. Get some people together and we can kind of work it all out through song.
Wait, you have to have somebody in your life missing in order to be in this choir?
Pretty much, yes.
It's like a support group.
Absolutely.
Like.
Absolutely.
That's cool.
It's about 30 or so voices from every walk of life. Most had never sung a day in their life. So they just wanted to get together. And then this man says to be eye to eye with family members that are there singing to you, who in their heads are singing to their missing loved one, is incredibly powerful. It's almost like this instant understanding, this unspoken thing between all of them. Their goal is to raise awareness for the roughly 180,000 people who are reported missing in the UK every year, including their own loved ones. And they've been seeing that when they do these performances, they're seeing such a difference in each other, like a little bit of life coming back to them because they're getting out all of this anguish and it becomes very cathartic to them. And it's just, it's a beautiful comfort in this togetherness where normally they'd have no one else to talk to.
I assume the only people who know that pain have gone through it.
Absolutely. So, I mean, you could tell your best friend about losing your kid. They're not getting it. You can talk to your wife who you've lost your child. Other than that, there's no one else.
So they should get a pet rat.
To have this release is such a beautiful thing. And there's video of them in 2017. They went on Britain's Got Talent. And it is so moving and it is so beautiful. And we are going to, of course, tweet the link to the CBS Sunday Morning story. But it was so well done and so beautiful. And it's something I never even thought of.
Yeah. They're like, party legends.
I don't know if they're party legends, but it is the Missing People Choir. They raise their voice in pain and hope, and it is a beautiful, beautiful story. And that's my...
I wanted to mention that we have tickets, ringside tickets, along with the pre-show meet and greet, coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, just after 8 o'clock, and we're looking for your comedian impressions.
Oh.
You do an impression of a comedian.
It has to be as good as Dave's Ray Romano, though.
I mean, I think that's the baseline of as low as it can get. So, yeah.
So you can do any comedian.
Yes.
Okay. Coming up at around 8 a.m. for April Foolishness, which is this Friday, which is why me, Bean, am in town in Los Angeles for the show. Now, the show is not till Friday, but I'm here early because today is the last day that I can get under the tattoo needle of the great Nico Hurtado. What's the name of his place down on Melrose?
Black Anchor.
Black Anchor is where I'm going to be after the show today, getting a tattoo all day. I'm already terrified, but that's not good enough for Kevin.
Oh, no, this is what we do for everyone that's on the show. Remember when I went to Brazil?
Oh, yeah.
And you brought up every single crime that's ever been happened there?
Yeah. Right.
So that's what this is. This is tattoo horror stories. And then after you're done, you're going to go, that was so great.
When I had my gallbladder out, we had people calling in talking about all the things that can go wrong for surgery.
The day before my wedding, I think we had wedding horror stories.
Yeah.
So 1-800-520-1067. There's a wide range of things that can go wrong with tattoos. Everything from misspelling to medical incidents. I'm telling you, somebody out there bled out from a tattoo.
You're just making that up.
I'm telling you, we're going to find that person. We're going to talk. We're going to talk about anything that can go wrong. We're going to talk about pain so bad that you got up and left the chair after the first 3 minutes. We're going to want to hear those stories as well, because that's going to be me later on today. 1-800-520-1067. Call now with your tattoo fails. When I think tattoo fails, I think beer mug, ladies and gentlemen.
How dare you?
Who actually has a beer mug tattooed on his ankle. There's no way you don't regret that every single day you wake up.
Yeah, it's true. It's one of the worst things I've ever done. But I got a radio name out of it.
Yeah, you did.
So there you go.
So glass half full?
Yeah.
Wow. You can't be buried with your people. But
yeah, well, that's some rabbis are whatever about that. They're like, you're cool.
They cut it out of your skin. Yeah, it's very chill.
How about you, Judson? How are you going to handle that when it comes time to be buried in the Jewish cemetery?
I feel like that's the least of our problems as a Jewish people, so I don't really care. Yeah.
Muggs, you have a tattoo fail that is not your own, though.
Thank God it's not mine. All the tattoos I have received, I'm pretty much happy with. My buddy wanted to memorialize his father who had passed away, so he went down to a tattoo convention where there's many tattooers, and he got a quarter of his back done with his last name, which is Ellison, and in loving memory. Well, loving on in loving memory was L-O-V-E-I-N-G.
Oh. Yes. No.
So,
yes.
Yeah.
I will say the one smart decision I made is that nobody can misspell my tattoo today.
Yeah.
Because it's just a portrait.
Yeah, you don't ever want to get believe tattooed on you, because I feel like that's the one people must. It's like
B-E-L-I-B.
I
before E is hard.
Yeah. Or believing, like with an F in it. Yeah.
But this is what, when you're a tattoo artist, Jensen, you're working off of an image, right?
Yes.
You're looking at a picture that you're then copying onto somebody's skin.
Yeah, like today he will have the queen picture to the right of him, and he will keep looking at it and then coming back to your arm.
How do so many people get misspellings, though, is what I'm trying to figure out, because
you're janky artists.
Because you're actually looking at it.
And you're supposed to see it ahead of time. Like, they kind of give you a bit of a sketch on your arm so you see placement and stuff.
Right.
Like, you'll see that today. And I just can't imagine not noticing a word. But you know what?
Look,
dumber things have happened.
We did a breakfast with Bush, and a girl said, I'm the biggest fan of Gavin, and I have his name on my back. Mm-hmm. And she showed it to him, and it said Galvin. There was
Yes,
showing it to Gavin.
Oh, no.
It had an L in it.
So she took Galvin. The L. Yeah. Oh, that's real bad.
Did she know that his name was Gavin? Or was it a tattoo artist's fault, or was it her fault?
If I remember correctly, she was very excited to show him.
Oh, my
And
gosh.
If that's the case, then she didn't realize.
Here's a photo, Jensen, I've just brought up of regret nothing. There's no T in nothing.
Oh, yeah. Well, that we know they regret something.
Regret knowing.
Yeah.
Here's it's is my life, Jon Bon Jovi.
Well, that's
my
what
life.
That person gets.
Yes.
For getting to Bon Jovi.
1-800-520-1067. Here's Knowledge is Power. Knowledge is spelled N-O-L-E-G-E. Knowledge is power.
That's a great word to misspell.
Again, I'm very lucky that I'm not getting any words spelled.
I've misspelled genius on Twitter many times, which is also ironic.
All right, so 1-800-520-1067. We're taking your calls right now. If you've had a tattoo fail, it can be pain. It can be anything that went wrong.
I mean, let's focus on pain.
Pain, right? The most. Yeah.
Yeah, pain is what I'm most worried about.
Yeah.
Let's start with John Newport Beach up first on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Or Juan. Good morning.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Juan. Welcome to the show. What's going on, my friend?
Hey, I have a story where my buddy went out to Brazil and he got his arm, the inner arm tattooed.
Mm-hmm.
And everything was fine. It was all full color, you know, purples and greens, all that kind of stuff. And when the tattoo was over, his arm began to get swollen. And then about 2 days later, where the color should have been, it was all black, scabby, there was pus on it.
Yeah!
He was in absolute pain. So, I mean, not to say that I'm sure... Nico's, because they got him tattooed at his shop before, so everything's clean there. But
yeah,
you know,
let's worry Bean. That's what this is about.
Yeah, but you never know what happens, you know what I mean?
Right?
After a weekend or whatever, like maybe someone didn't clean.
Right?
Oh, no.
Exactly. Or a fly can land on your arm after the tattoo and then, you know, leave some sort of weird bug on there and grow off of your arm. I don't know.
Yeah,
oh, yeah. No, that's true. Lay eggs. I heard about that before.
Eggs,
yeah. Lay eggs.
Quad, was your friend able to do anything at all with what was left of that tattoo? I mean, that seems like it'd be a tough correction.
No, it didn't. It didn't hold most of the ink anymore. Like, it scabbed off with the ink. So it was left with, like, this weird... It was supposed to be a skull, like a candy skull. And what was left is, like, teeth and, like, half of the outline.
Okay.
Fantastic. Yeah, rest in peace, your friend, too.
Is that possible, though, for your body just to reject the ink?
Yes. So, okay.
It is?
Oh, it
so
is.
I have that story. Oh, wow.
So there was a
kid... Thank you, Juan, for calling.
A kid in my freshman year in college, like an idiot, got his fraternity letters tattooed on his leg, on his little ankle.
Uh-huh.
And... a couple days later, it started to scab out, and I mean, in a good way, scab out. But I could see the ink was starting to almost bleed on his leg out.
Oh no!
And then at the end of the day, they figured out he was like allergic to the
your
color.
Your body just
to the
rejects
color
it.
Ink. Yeah.
How do you know that before you do that?
I think it's so rare. I assume because I knew only one story, but like you know, Bean's pretty special,
right?
He's very special.
Yeah.
Your friend thought it was
great.
Pretty rare too, and it happened to him.
Wow. Also, I think you know when you're at like Arizona State getting a tattoo, it's probably not as safe as Nico's.
John, you hang on. Teresa as well. We'll take everyone's calls at 1-800-520-1067. A lot of things can go wrong apparently when you get a tattoo. We want to hear what happened to you when we return on K-Rock.
Just ahead of yeah, let's take one phone call. We're talking about tattoo horror stories, and we have Teresa on the line from Riverside. Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning.
What am I in for today?
I was getting a rose on my left shoulder blade back when I was like 15 or 16 years old, mm-hmm. and they did like the little bud part in the stem, and then they went to do the outlining for the bigger part, and they could only do like a C part of it because I swelled up so bad, and you couldn't even see the ink anymore.
Oh,
and
my
I never
gosh.
Got it done.
Wow.
Do you think, like Jensen's fraternity buddy, that you were allergic?
Yeah, I think I did have an allergic reaction. I have other tattoos now on, like, my forearms, but I never got that one finished. It freaked me out.
Maybe
but
your body just rejected that particular tattoo.
It did. It did, because that's the tattoo that everybody in the hood used to get back then. You know, the rose and the butterfly.
Yep, it was God saying, wow. Teresa, do better.
Stop it.
Do better. All right, yes. Thank you for listening. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. By the way, the queen turned 93 years old
yesterday.
Oh,
that's so exciting.
And I'm getting a tattoo of her when she was 25 later on today. We'll take more of your tattoo fail calls. 1-800-520-1067 coming up next on K-Rock.
Bean's getting a tattoo today. He's a little worried.
Hold on a sec. I think I'm going to be sick.
So we're taking tattoo horror stories.
I think I'm going to be sick. Jensen, look at this photo.
Well, don't.
That is what my friends look like, though.
No.
Here's
oh,
my tattoo
yes.
fail about a year ago. I had an allergic reaction to the ink. It's not my first tattoo, and this is the first time it's happened. This is day 5. Took about 2 months to properly heal. My tattoo is now slightly faded but still intact. Good luck being longtime listener, Edith. Look at the photo.
Wow. And how weird that it wasn't her first tattoo.
Yeah. I mean,
like, all of a sudden, your body can just be like, I'm
allergic
now.
Looks like someone threw up on her arm.
I do like that this is not the tattoo artist's fault, though, because Nico's great.
Yeah,
so he's not going to screw it up.
That's out of Nico's hands,
but
is what you're saying.
But it could totally be on you, Bean.
I could go to the best guy in the world.
Yeah, of course.
Cleanest.
And still...
Yep.
Could end up with something like what Edith had.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
That looks like an alien's going to pop out.
It does. Yeah. What am I doing, you guys?
All right. Wow. Let's talk to Joe in Simi Valley. Good morning, Joe.
Joe's going to make me feel better.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Good morning.
Good morning,
Hi,
Joe.
Good morning.
I'm getting my
I
first.
Love you guys.
Thank you. We love you, too. I'm getting my first ever tattoo in a few hours, and I'm not going to lie. I'm frankly terrified. So talk
well,
me through this.
Let me add to that. Let me just make you a little more terrified. So I got a red heart on my foot and on the top of my foot, and I had a terrible reaction to the red ink. And apparently it's very common for people to be allergic to this. There's something in the red ink that
a specific color, but not the others.
So, wow. Well, for me, yeah. But, you know, maybe for other people it's a different color. But for me, something in the red ink did not agree with me. So what happened was, you know, it got all itchy and ugly and bumpy. And I ended up going to the doctor. And they sent me to a dermatologist who then injected the tattoo with cortisone, like cortisone shots.
Mm-hmm.
In order to minimize the itching and scaliness. But basically, I had to go back about once a month and have a needle stuck into my foot.
Once a month?
I thought this was a one-time deal.
Bean, do you have time once a month?
for about 6 months until it finally... But basically, what happens is your body rejects the ink, and now it's like you can barely see kind of just a little bit of red ink on it.
Wow.
But okay. Yeah, so that was fun.
Good times.
But, you know, happy tattooing.
Right. Thanks. Yeah, I hear there was pus involved in Joe's, too, by the way, which is never something you want to
see. I was happy she didn't bring that up.
Yes.
Yeah. So thank you for that.
All right, how about you want to try John? He's up next, Kevin and Bean Show, Huntington Beach. Hey, John, go ahead and pile on. Everyone else is.
Nah, man, give it a shot, Bean. You're all right. You only live once, right?
Right.
Well, unless he dies while tattooing. And then, really, it's not even a full life. Yeah.
You live. It's all good. Yeah, I got a tattoo. I met a guy, and he was like, oh, I want to learn how to do it. I bought some guns. I'm trying it out on some people. And I said, sure. So this guy shows up to my house. So I got a tattoo in my living room. First mistake, right?
And, no, the first mistake. Hold. The first mistake is I met a guy, and he wanted to try it. And you didn't say no.
It wasn't the location, John.
What the hell?
Well, okay, so this gets worse because it's $20. I'm like, yeah, I'll get a tattoo for $20.
$20. Second mistake.
Yeah.
Boy, there are a lot of red flags in this.
Third mistake. Living room.
Red flags. All right. And it goes downhill. So I get my tattoo. He gets there and he's like, what do you want? I was like, I don't know. He goes, well, I want to draw barbed wire. And he showed me a picture. He drew a barbed wire in a straight line on a piece of paper. It looked beautiful. Around an arm, though, it didn't work out so well. And it's like, it's lopsided and it's kind of falling down my arm. So that was crazy. But here's where it went south.
Oh, no. Here's where it went south. Yeah.
Everything was great up till that point.
Hold on. All right. So my arm started to turn green and yellow.
Excellent.
And it started to grow over the course of a couple of days. And, of course, I'm showing my friend. Your friend just, it's always dramatic. Oh, my God. Wow, that's bad. You know, either you've got an allergic reaction or you've got an infection. And everybody called me an idiot for getting a tattoo in my living room.
They're right.
So after a couple
living
of days.
Living room again. Problem three.
Yeah. I finally go to the doctor. Doctor's looking at it. He's like, you know, you could see in his face. He was totally disappointed that I didn't die and I didn't clean the gene pool. That ultimately, it was a bruise. But it took 2 weeks to heal, and it took me like a week to get there. So I was terrified, like I was going to die for a whole week.
You thought you had like gangrene, but it was just a bruise.
Yes. Big time. Yes.
Can you imagine?
And everybody was saying gangrene, infection. This, you're going to lose your arm, and it's spreading, and I was sick. I was totally
John,
sick.
Don't let that worry you, though, Bean.
I never want John to change, though. I always want John to continue to make the great decisions he's making. Thank you for listening. All right, give me some Todd on line one, please. Todd is in Riverside. I think he's really going to bring this one home.
Hey, Todd.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
You're going to help Bean feel better now, right?
Oh, absolutely not.
Okay. All right. What happened, dude?
So I got my side tattooed, and... anyways, I got, like, these big old, like, pussy bumps, like, two of them.
Oh,
there's the pus. There's the pus we were looking for.
Why would you? We're not looking for that. What?
I went to the doctor, and he said, oh, well, you got a staph infection. And then he said, we're gonna have to cut them open and you know, bleed them out or whatever. And I looked at him, I was like, you're not going to cut my tattoo open? And then he said, well, you know that you can die from that, right?
Yeah staph infection is serious. They kill people in the hospital all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, and so anyways, I didn't let him do it, but it hurt like crazy, and eventually, I didn't die, obviously, but yeah, it was like one of the worst things ever.
I like that Todd's just like, you know what, I might die, I'm good.
All right, see you later, Doc.
Take my chances.
Thank you for the call. Let's take one more. Let's make it Tim, Huntington Beach. He's on line five. You know, we haven't really gotten into the pain aspect of this. I think that's where Tim's coming from.
Hey, Tim.
Hey, what's up, guys? So this is going to make you feel better, but you only YOLO once, right, Dean?
Sure.
All right. So.
Which is going to be my next tattoo on my taint.
So I got
to say, you only YOLO once.
So I only got one tattoo. I got it when I was 18, 16 years ago. It's this big, bold cover of a Thrice album on the inner part of my arm, next to my armpit. And it hurt so bad. It's still to this day, it's like one of the worst pains I've ever felt in my life. It took 3 hours. I have no idea how you're going to be able to do 6 hours deep.
Yeah, right?
The bigger question is, how do you feel about committing thrice to your arm for the rest of your life? I mean, look, it's not the cure. You know what I mean?
I got to be honest. I still regret my Sugar Ray 1459 tattoo. So.
Thank you for calling, Tim. We appreciate it. Let's take one more if we have time because this cracks me up.
I thought we were done. No, one more.
Sergio in Orange. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
So what happened when you were getting your tattoo?
It wasn't me. It was my buddy. He was getting his family's crescent cross with his last name on his bicep, and the artist traced it on his arm, and before he started told him, hey, go to the mirror, check it out, make sure everything's right. Friends totally hyped, went, looked at it, and he was like, yeah, it's perfectly good. Halfway getting done through the tattoo, his mom walks in and goes, that's not how you spell your last name. Starts freaking out.
That's it? That's all you got?
Yeah, and then he started freaking out, and the guy tried to squeeze it in, and it just looked like a bunch of... His name's Lauren, and it said Laughlin.
Mm. Oh, God.
That's a strong last call.
You know what?
Let's end it. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 10 minutes till 8 o'clock. I've got some tickets coming up just after 8 o'clock for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. You get VIP tickets. You sit right up front. Mm. You get to the VIP party ahead of time, and we're going to be looking for your comedian impressions. Mm.
What's the deal with foolishness?
Oh, Andrew Dice Clay.
What's the deal? I mean, airplane food. I sound like Alf.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah. It's weird.
But you sound like Alf in life, so.
Right, that's true. Honestly, this is my normal voice.
That was your Seinfeld?
All right, yeah. So in other words.
That was Seinfeld?
Yes!
In other words,
I can't do it anymore.
You don't have to do Ray Romano or Adam Ray or Greg Fitzsimmons.
But please do.
But you can. Right. Yeah. Any of the comedians on the bill certainly are a fair game, but you can do any past comedian, too. Mm. If you want to call up and do Chris Rock or whoever you want to do, we want to hear your impression of a comedian. Now, do they have to tell a joke as the comedian? I would think they would, right?
It would be good.
I mean,
ideally.
I mean, don't order food or something, ask if your laundry's done. Yeah, I mean, that would be strange.
I just remember Beer Mug when we had him doing Beer Mug Theater with his hickory dickory dock.
Oh! That.
So 1-800-520-1067. Your comedian impressions is what we're looking for. You can call right now just after 8. We'll put you on the air. Somebody wins a pair of ringside VIP tickets to Kevin and Bean's 11th annual April Foolishness. By the way, you're going to be so close to the rap battle that some of Kevin's blood might get on you.
Yeah, you got to Gallagher it. Bring a poncho.
I think so. All right, 1-800-520-1067. That's come. First Alley's here with what's happening on a Monday.
How bummed were you, Bean, that you weren't in Seattle on Saturday?
For the folks that were, this was a moment, wasn't
it? Unbelievable. So you're just hanging out, one of the city's most popular places, Pike Place Market, and all of a sudden you see two people busking, just playing a little tune.
Very common down there.
Then you realize, that's Dave Grohl and Brandi Carlile. What is happening? Here's just one of the tunes they were doing. They covered the Beatles' Let It Be.
Let it be, let it be.
How much do they make, by the way? Does it say?
It doesn't say, but they bust for about 15 to 20 minutes. Obviously not a first-time thing for Brandi Carlile. That was familiar ground to her. She used to busk there in the early 2000s before getting her first record deal with Sony. I'm not sure that Dave Grohl has ever busked there, but he did wind up closing out their jam session with the little Foo Fighters.
It's not like he's learned to live again. If times like these, you give and give again. If times like these, you learn to love again.
There had to be people going by going, that guy sounds pretty good.
It sounds a little like Dave Grohl and just not looking up, just looking at their phone, doing whatever. Yeah.
So why were they there? Is this going to be a Corden bit or what are we doing here?
No word on why. And nobody knows why, and they never announced it during when they were singing. Like,
that's what I love about Dave Grohl. Like, most rock stars pretty much hide when they're not out performing, right. And he just does whatever he wants to do.
Yeah.
Hey, you want to do that? Yeah, let's go.
I know Brandy still lives in Seattle. Mm-hmm. She's lived there, you know, forever. But how they ended up together, like, how do they know each other? Why are they performing together?
Don't know.
Dave knows every person on Earth.
Well, yeah. That's true.
I'm hoping maybe it means they were recording something. They were busy up in Seattle. Then she's like, hey, you want to go busk? And he's like, yeah, I do. I'm Dave Grohl. That's kind of what I'm hoping.
Why would he announce his own name to her?
Yeah. It's weird. Sometimes he talks in third person. It's bizarre.
You brought me right to the scene.
Thank you. When I went to Ireland over the holidays, I had missed by one day Bono and the Edge busking in Dublin, which they do every single Christmas, and people look forward to it every single Christmas, just randomly out there playing some tunes.
Well, Christmas presents aren't cheap. You know, they have kids.
Pretty cool.
That's true. So, they are raising money.
Extra cash, yeah.
Yeah. You guys, the memoir that Prince was working on at the time of his death will be coming out, and they have a date now, October 29th. It's called The Beautiful Ones, and it will combine Prince's unfinished manuscript with rare photos, scrapbooks, and lyrics.
That is such a surprise to me as a private person.
I know.
Yeah. So private that he was writing a book.
Yeah. It's very interesting because he said that Prince wanted to kind of reveal more of himself and his ideas to the world while still kind of retaining a bit of mystery. So the book is going to span from Prince's childhood to his early years as a musician to the cusp of international stardom. And like I said, it's going to have his own writings, a scrapbook of personal photos that people have never seen.
Wow.
Original handwritten lyric sheets from most of his iconic songs, like little notes scratched out.
That's pretty cool.
I don't want to spoil it for you guys, but I do have an excerpt from it.
You do?
Yeah, it's the last chapter.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay, not funny.
Get out.
Not funny.
Seriously,
at
get
all.
Out.
Last word.
Leave.
Not funny at all.
I'm putting you on a timeout, Jensen. Okay. I don't want to hear from you for 5 minutes.
I thought it was a little funny.
Wow.
You get out too. Both of you.
Wow.
It would be funny though if the final sentence is like, and that's when I decided to write Bat Dance.
Wow. Yesterday was 3 years since we lost Prince to the day, and apparently Jensen does not think it is too soon to make that kind of joke.
Wow.
Not too soon.
Wow. Wow.
Hootie hoo!
Right?
No hootie hoo, sir. No, sir. You guys, this is a little concerning. Woodstock's 50, their ticket on sale date was today because they wanted it to coincide with Earth Day. It's been delayed.
Oh, who cares? Yes, who cares?
I feel like a lot of people care because people are looking forward to the show. No new date has been announced for the on sale. Tickets had been scheduled, like I said, to go on sale today. The festival is scheduled to take place August 16th through the 18th in upstate New York, but the delay has sparked serious concern among agents and managers that the event might be canceled.
It's a scam, okay? It's a scam.
I don't know. And now they're saying maybe they haven't gotten the pass that they need, the permit from the state.
That's the word, permit.
To hold it at the grounds, which might be the cause of the delay.
But how do you not start with that?
That's what I'm saying.
Is this the fire fest?
Saying, if you're Jay-Z or Miley Cyrus or Janelle Monáe and you were, you know, planning on this being a huge date for you, that must be a little concerning.
Yeah, I would think so.
I don't like it.
I always think
a whole lot of hullabaloo. Mm-hmm.
I always think it's scary when an organizer immediately is like, ticket sales are being delayed. It's not canceled. Like, no one asked you to.
Yeah.
Like,
it's like, calm down.
There's clearly a problem here.
So the Academy of Motion Pictures Arts and Scientists would be amazing.
You're branching out.
Academy of Motion Pictures Arts and Sciences is standing by its decision to oust accused rapist Roman Polanski from its ranks, even though he sued the Oscars organization on Friday. But the Academy's response was very swift. Here's the quote from the Academy. The procedures taken to expel Mr. Polanski were fair and reasonable. The Academy stands behind its decision as appropriate.
He must really want those screeners.
Seriously.
He sued them over it.
Dude, you fled the country.
And I'd also like to say, God bless the Me Too movement, because this guy was in the Academy for 40 years after the rape.
They were giving him, like, big standing ovations.
Yes,
they were giving
tributes.
So.
And he was still nominated for Oscars,
too. Yeah, he was still nominated.
Yeah.
So now, he needs to realize that this has come home to roost.
That's exactly it, Bean. Bean, you're not a huge cusser.
I'm not.
However, when you get your tattoo,
yes,
do you think you might cuss?
I'm hoping they give me a stick to put in my mouth to bite
down.
That's
how they do it.
Yeah.
That's how they do it.
They just give you bark.
In the Old West, when you see they have to take the bullet out with a knife, they always put a stick in the dude's mouth.
Right. And he's just swigging a whiskey. Or now, do it now.
I don't know. I have no idea what my reaction is going to be, Allie, but I am, again, terrified.
Well, there's been a long-held belief among psychologists that cursing leads to pain feeling worse.
Oh.
That you're catastrophizing what happened when you swear. However, research has now proven that swearing actually does dull the pain. They stuck 67 people in an icy cold bath. One group was allowed to swear while the other had to only say neutral words, like, ooh, chilly in here. Swearing increased participants' pain threshold by almost 50%. Hmm. That's amazing.
So, sounds shaky as hell.
How many times am I allowed to call Nico a mother effer?
100.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It helps.
Just get out there and start swearing.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
That's good advice.
You're welcome. Some birthdays for you. John Waters, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, Jack Nicholson, Amber Heard, and Machine Gun Kelly. And that's what's happening.
All right. We have tickets for April Foolishness. They're VIP right up front. You get the party beforehand. We're looking for your impression of any comedian, past or present.
Come on, give me some Emo Phillips.
Your impression. 1-800-520-10.
Can I just say something here?
You can wait till the song ends.
Yeah, people have heard it.
Okay.
If you've been on the fence about attending the 11th annual Kevin and Bean April Foolishness this Friday night at the Microsoft Theater, may I remind you that there are tickets as inexpensive as $30, mm-hmm. and that proceeds go to the Intrepid Fallen Heroes Fund and Cedars-Sinai NICU. This event that we do every April has raised over $1 million for charity since we've been doing
it. You're just making that number up.
I'm not. And that is
raised over $10 million.
Nope, it's over a million, though.
And over $100 million.
That is thanks to our great Kevin and Bean listeners. We really appreciate you. So this Friday night is going to be great. We're giving away some tickets, ringside tickets right now, VIP tickets at 1-800-520-1067. All we're asking you to do is impersonate any comedian that you like. What's this game called, Kevin?
Comedian Impressions. Comedian Impressions. So come on now, it's time for you to do some comedy. Just imitate someone that is funny. Comedian Impressions. Comedian Impressions. You could do Seinfeld or Eddie Murphy, but I'd probably steer away from people like Bill Cosby. Comedian Impressions. Comedian Impressions.
All right, before we go to...
We certainly didn't blow the bank that we had on the name of this game. Comedian Impressions.
No, we didn't. We're going to go to Abraham first.
Also, Omar, I'd probably steer away.
But before that, let's prime the pump a little bit because we have some master impressionists here on the Kevin and Bean Show, especially, of course, including Beer Mug. Now, Beer Mug, who do you do?
I do a very, very good Andrew Dice Clay.
Okay.
All right, let's hear some of that. Right, maybe this will pump people up who are thinking about crawling.
Here we go. Hickory dickory dock. Your sister, she came. Oh, I screwed that up. I screwed that up. Boo! I got nervous, you guys. Yeah.
All right, here's Dave, the King of Mexico, our producer. Dave, who do you do?
Oh, just a guy named Ray Romano, who will be at the Microsoft Theater on Friday. See you guys there, Deborah.
Doesn't sound anything like him.
Don't do anything what Dave and I just did.
Correct.
Right. All right, let's go to Abraham. He's our first contestant. He's up on line three, I want to say, Los Angeles on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Abraham, what's going on, man?
Hey, guys. I don't know who this Abraham guy is, but this is Bobcat calling in.
Okay, Bobcat Goldthwait.
I mean, it wasn't bad, but I'm glad you threw in the name.
But do you do the yell? I mean, you're doing the soft voice right now.
Well, I just wanted to say that, like, I always wanted to call in and do radio impressions, but I became a stand-up instead.
Okay.
There it was.
I like that.
All right, Abraham, we are playing this knockout-style rules, so you are definitely still in the running. In fact, you're in the lead right now. Let's try Brian, please, line two. Brian is in... Bonsall? Is that a place?
Bonsall, where's that?
Where the hell is Bonzo,
California? Bonzo, California is 8 miles inland from Oceanside.
Hmm. And Brian Bonzo was the youngest kid on Family Ties. He played Andy.
That seems unrelated.
It's just weird, though, right?
All right, Brian.
You found me.
Let's hear your comedy impression. Don't tell us who it is. Let's see if we can guess.
So I meet this girl at the bar, and she says, I'm not into casual sex. So I look at her and I say, I'll wear a tie.
It's a Dangerfield joke.
Oh, my God. Rodney Dangerfield. Dangerfield.
Okay. I'll give him points for not saying I get no respect.
Yes.
He would have helped us.
All right. But. Are you guys Rodney or are you guys Bobcat?
I'm Rodney.
I think I'm Rodney.
All right, Rodney. All right, so I'm sorry, Abraham. Looks like Brian moves on. Let's go to Jacob up next. Line one, please. Bobcat was sad. Yes.
That was me hanging up on Bobcat.
He was sad. Jacob and Amonte, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
All right, don't tell us who it is. Let's hear your comedy impression.
All right. So the other day, I was visiting a dinosaur museum, and I was having a conversation with this kid, and his dad shows up, and he's like, oh, Jimmy, you made a friend? And he's like, asks me, hey, you mind if you watch him for a bit? And he was gone for a really long time.
Pretty
like,
good.
I'm not a child molester, but if I was, I would have been like, looks like someone's doing some molesting tonight.
That's real good.
Ladies and gentlemen, he said sorry on the phone with him.
Told the joke well.
That was spectacular,
Nicely
Jacob.
Done.
All right, hang on. You are now in the lead. I'm sorry we have to say goodbye to Allie's childhood crush, Brian. We lose him. Let's go to Braxton, line five, up next, North Hollywood, on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Braxton.
Morning.
Morning. Morning. Let's hear your comedy impression.
You know, I'm getting old. Most messed up thing is once you get to my age, your phone book looks more like a dead list instead of a friend list.
I don't know it.
And that was...
Who is it?
Can I say it?
Yeah.
George Carlin?
Oh!
I'm going to say no.
It was classic.
That's not what it was.
I think you did a nice job. We're going to have
what I meant.
We're going to have to say goodbye because, you know, Jacob. But thank you for listening. We appreciate it. All right. We got time for a couple more. Let's go to Robert, Marina Del Rey, line four, please.
All right. Robert, good morning.
Good morning. I mean, because look, you go through the dresser, you supersize your fries, and they give you the entire location packet. What's the deal with that? How many
ad-wizards
that came up with that one?
All right.
That much ketchup for all those fries? Come on.
That's Jerry Seinfeld on a terrible phone.
On a Mr. Microphone,
On a Mr. Microphone.
With a phone in his butt.
Right. Thank you for calling. We appreciate it. Still Team Jacob. All right, couple more real quick. Alex, Los Angeles, line seven.
Morning, Alex.
Hey, yo, what's with this guy in the audience and keeps heckling me? Looks like he's seen more Dickens than Weekends. Hey. Hey, yo, you know, if you're stepping out, it's just stepping out.
Impressions. All right, thank you for the call.
That was a dice man.
Right? Hey. I think so. Natalie, line eight, Brentwood, up next on K-Rock. Again, we're playing for ringside VIP tickets to Kevin and Bean's 11th annual April Fool's Show. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you, Natalie.
No. They just put her on hold. Hey, Natalie, hi.
Hi.
All right, you going to do an impression of who? Oh, no, don't tell us.
My
bad. Tell us a joke.
Don't tell us.
All right.
Oh, my God. I mean, you'll figure it out real quick because I am the chosen people. I am representing the chosen things.
All right. I think the F word is what killed it for you. You had some good flow until the F word, but thank you. All right. Let's take it one more, and let's go to line three, a caller from Burbank.
Armin, good morning.
Who's that supposed to be?
Sarah Silverman.
Hey, good morning. Oh, boy. Honestly, I got really nervous. It was supposed to be Dave Chappelle. I was going to do Dave's wife friend, like, Dave, you better put your hands up. That's a police officer. And then I just remembered, sprinkled the crack on it, and I don't know, I got all carried away.
You can talk all day. I don't know what you're saying.
I know you sprinkled crack as a Dave thing, but also, are you on crack?
No, absolutely not.
Okay. Okay. I mean, let's work this out with Armin. What's happening?
What's going on in your life, Armin?
I think Armin has bailed on his Chappelle impression, I think is what happened. You were going to do some comedy for us, but you decided not to, right?
Right, exactly.
You're the most confusing call of the day. Thank you, Armin.
Thank you, Armin. Ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce you to our friend Jacob. Nice. He is going to be there for Adam Ray, Felipe Esparza, Greg Fitzsimmons, Annie F., Jimmy Lee, and Ray Romano, plus the Kevin Bean Rap Battle with beatboxer Joshua from Drop the Mic. It's all this Friday night going down, AXS.com at the Microsoft Theater. You can still buy your tickets. Jacob, well done, sir. Thanks for playing.
Woo!
We'll see you Friday.
Comedian impressions.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:37.
Jensen, you're our hip-hop correspondent. You were even before you joined the program full-time.
I am.
How is MIA as a rapper?
I don't consider her a rapper. I consider her more of a singer.
Really?
Yeah. I don't really... But, I mean, she's, you know, she's great. She doesn't put out a lot of music.
Right.
But... Yeah.
How are Kevin and Bean as rappers?
Well, that's what I want to go over right now.
I mean, fantastic.
You both
is
were,
what I'm hearing.
Listen, Allie and I watched you both rap over a beat in a karaoke way.
Right.
Then kind of battle with your own lyrics. And we were both like, wow, that was
shocked.
Much better than we thought it should be. Then they
are
brought,
you just saying that?
No.
Then Stryker and Klein brought in Fab Five Freddy and he said, oh, pretty good. He didn't. I mean,
he was being nice.
What he said was, "We were barely competent karaoke singers."
I think
that's
he,
what he said.
That's a win for me,
right?
I'm good with that.
That's you're looking through, you know, jaded eyes. I think this has been pretty good. And what I want to do today is show you how bad it could be.
Okay.
And through these terrible examples, I want you to take the advice, because when you're on stage this Friday at April Foolishness. This kind of preparation is definitely going to help you.
We're doing it first, right? That's the first thing that's going to happen because I want to get it out of the way.
I think we're like halfway in,
Come on now.
So we're going to have
these rap fails in our minds as we take the stage.
And it will help.
Thanks for nothing.
No worry. But the advice might
help us.
Like, for example, as a battle rapper myself, you have to conquer fear. You have to go up there and basically do one of your most scared moments in front of all these people. And so I wanted to pull a clip of a man who goes on a public access television show to promote his book, and he wants to freestyle rap.
It's just a freestyle.
Okay.
I'm just going to think it up as I go.
Freestyle? Well, let me sit back. Go ahead, Marshall.
Okay. Years ago, they tried to put me in the... this is a lie. Mm-hmm.
We know that.
Did you want to try to read something from your book?
Yeah.
I think we can match that low bar.
Yeah, so consider.
But wait, let me just make sure, clarify something. We're going to be looking at lyrics, right?
Yes, you'll have the paper in front of you. It's not a freestyle.
Okay,
you don't have to do that.
Jensen said if we were good, though, we'd memorize it.
Yeah, I don't care.
He did say that.
Yeah, I don't think if you care. You shouldn't care. Then I think that you should have a focus when storytelling. You know what I mean? Like, definitely tell a story in your battles.
Okay.
You know, like, you want people to follow you along the way.
So take us on a journey.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And I wanted to show you a 14-year-old rapper who put his rap on YouTube that might not have the focus you'll need.
Okay, that's my next song. It's called Hater Party. Alright, check it. Here's the beat. Me and some other Juggalo riders, we're going down Route 66. We seen a bar on the right, we pulled in. We saw a lot of vehicles, so maybe we thought something was going on tonight. It's a Friday night, so you never know, right?
Right.
So I went in. Here, everybody's dancing around, saying, the Juggalo riders. So we pull out our hatchets and our pistols. We raid on in. We're like, what the did you say, you little bitch?
Okay, that's the exact rap I was going to do Friday night.
You have to scratch that out and redo it?
Oh, man.
Hatchets and pistols.
I like that he saw a lot of cars. He wanted to throw that in.
Yeah. A lot of vehicles.
A lot of vehicles.
I think you should know your limitations. Don't overextend yourself. Know what you're good at and move forward. Like this
I'm not good at rapping.
Well,
I know that.
Like, we know we're not Busta Rhymes. Don't pretend to be, right?
That's what I mean. And this kid here, he's a famous YouTuber who was bored and decided to freestyle. His name's Tristan.
Hey guys, what's up? Tristan Amelcaster here, and I wanted to bring you a random video today because I'm on vacation and I can't bring any of my regular content. So wanted to at least bring you something so you guys wouldn't think I'm like dead or something like that. So this is a random freestyle rap. Yeah, you know I'm the guy coming at me hard, wasting all my time. You think you're a pro, you're not, you suck. Come at me, bro, you better, you will fall. Yeah, I'm number one on the list. Come at me now, you just got dissed. You cannot beat me at anything you want. I'll throw this beat at you, dude, you suck.
That's the exact one that I wrote.
Was that live, so he had to put it out there?
You know what? Or... I think he thought it was good.
Wow.
I also,
this is a confidence-building exercise.
That's what
it
I'm
is.
Saying. Wow, I am feeling better.
I think I'm doing the right thing here. There's no need to compare yourself to others.
Oh, okay.
Like, go out there and be yourself. Don't say...
But he's Kevin M., though.
Well, no, but that's a new name. You know, don't think I'm going out there and going to be like Kendrick Lamar or this kid who is obviously a huge Eminem fan.
Hey, guys. I'm going to rap to you my new song. It's called Next Generation of Eminem. Okay, here it goes.
I'm ready.
Yeah. From the people from the 313, put your hands up for me and say, go, Twix. Go, like, go, King, like the fest. Go, King, like the fest. I'm the new generation of Eminem, because I could bling on my ring and bling, yeah.
I love him so much.
Where's Interscope when you need him?
I want that beat, by the way. That beat is what we need for...
Go, Twix.
What if Kevin and Bean didn't rap Friday and we got all of these rappers?
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
People would be thrilled, that's especially amazing. This last guy. And this is my biggest concern.
Okay.
You guys are going to be nervous. There's going to be a big bar, right?
Sure.
Don't go get drunk or don't, you know, like be yourself. Be out there and be in the moment. Okay. Because there are people who get too drunk or too stoned, like this guy who got way too high and videoed himself rapping.
Have a bleach in this shit. And I ain't talking Spanish. I'm just speaking this shit, you heard? That's my word. Better stand on it. I'm a man before anything. Put a grand on it. You get 2 G's on the rim. Bitch is trying to do me. Get smoked like that blood.
Oh, dear. Oh. I mean...
Oh, what happened? Did he fall?
He passed out. He passed out from coughing.
Pretty dope, man.
He passed out.
You've given us a lot of pitfalls to avoid. Yeah.
I mean, listen, if one of you does pass out, though, automatic win.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock. K-Rock. K-R-O-Q.
Mercedes-Benz reminds you not to text.
What happened?
Nothing happened. Hey, guys, it doesn't... Look, just because it's a mystery break, Kevin, and you don't know what it is...
Am I the only one that doesn't know what it is?
I mean, technically, yeah.
Oh, then it's about me.
But it doesn't mean it's about you. It could just be something that is so delightful that we all want to share the excitement.
But all of you know what it is.
But we all want to share the excitement of seeing you be exposed to something great.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Or just be exposed, yeah.
This is what Bean says every time before something embarrassing happens.
And it could make you look good. You don't know,
man. Oh, I'm sure it would.
This is just after 9 a.m. That's happening. To get us there, though, here's Allie with another look at what's happening on a Monday.
Guys, over the weekend, I saw a post that just made me so happy. The cast of Saved by the Bell got together for dinner to celebrate nearly 30 years since the show originally aired. Everyone looks really good, you guys.
They do.
It was Mark Paul Gosselaar, Mario Lopez, Elizabeth Berkley, and Tiffany Thiessen. Of course, Zach Morris, AC Slater, Jesse Spano, and Kelly Kapowski, along with their spouses. Notably absent was
Screech
and Lisa Turtle, Lark Voorhees. Yeah. But if you guys look at this picture, you're going to be like, why are they all the most gorgeous humans ever?
They have
and their
well.
Spouses are hot. It's just a good-looking cast, you guys.
I wonder how common that is for sitcom stars to stay friends.
My wife is still close with all of her co-stars. Really? Not with the main co-stars. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not the loser, like, star, like, every now and then comes in.
Well, I think she's, like, listening and probably
good question,
punching
though.
The radio. No, she is friends with all of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
She is.
Even
the Screeches?
Principal?
Yeah, I mean, he's very old.
He's like in his 90s.
Yeah,
huh?
We just saw him. He was also the voice of Kit from Knight Rider.
What?
Oh my gosh, was he really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
I was like, did you have fun on that? And he was like, no.
Right, sir.
I was very like, did you ever meet David Hasselhoff? And he said, no.
Wow. Seems happy.
Wow. Very cool conversation we had when
very,
I met him.
Yeah. Very angry car. Mm-hmm. That's weird. All right, guys, some box office over the weekend. The Curse of La Llorona beat box office expectations to take the top spot this weekend with a $26.5 million opening. That's against a $9 million budget. Not bad.
It's a success.
Absolutely. Coming in number second was Shazam.
Number second is
number second. That hey just now. Happened. Shazam was $17 million, pushing its domestic total to $121 million. Global total, over $300 million. Then the faith-based film Breakthrough performed really well.
Grossing. That came in at number third?
Number third with $11 million. Coming in at number fourth, Captain Marvel, which was pushed out of the top five last weekend, but returned to number four with another $9.1 million. A lot of people are saying it's because people are trying to watch all of the Avengers movies leading up to Avengers Endgame.
You could see that, you weirdo.
Completing the top five was Little, which made $8.3 million in its second weekend for a 10-day total of $29 million.
Did you know that Little was an idea conceived by a 14-year-old girl?
Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, she's a producer on the movie. She's in Black-ish.
Yeah, she's the star of the movie, too. She's the little version of Regina Hall.
She, like, had an idea.
That was a struggle. It was a journey, and I'm glad you stayed with me.
She had an idea, went and pitched a movie company, and they said, well, make it.
Like amazing.
And now she has an office and stuff. She has, like, a production company.
She's
it's
rad.
Just that easy in Hollywood.
Oh, yeah. Just come here if you're 14, pitch a movie, and you get it.
Kanye. His Sunday service, you guys, yesterday.
Unreal!
You watched about an hour, you said.
Yeah.
And that was enough.
Didn't see much.
I can't believe you watched an hour.
Yeah. Didn't see much.
Well, it kicked off at 9 a.m. Kanye wasn't really revealed on the fisheye lens stream that Coachella was doing until about 9:50. And he really didn't get on the mic for another hour after that. And he performed All Falls Down and then followed that up by premiering his new song, Water, with Ty Dolla $ign. But he was dancing, playing the piano, directing the choir leading up to that. So it's not like he wasn't busy doing stuff.
Hmm.
The final hour featured DMX giving a prayer, Chance the Rapper performing Ultralight Beam, and a huge rendition of Jesus Walks, which seemed to be the highlight.
Dumb question. Was there any preaching going on? Did they even have a religious aspect with a sermon or anything like that?
There was a guy, there was a guy doing a whole lot of like in Jesus talk, but then DMX gave an actual sermon.
Did a prayer. And a lot of the gospel were songs that obviously... Big ups to Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. Who's with me?
You all right?
Yeah.
And by the way, in all fairness, Kanye West gets it.
Oh.
Okay.
Mm.
And according to photos, there was a tent marked Church Clothes, which offered sweatshirts from $165 to $225. There were $70 shirts, and if those are out of your price range, don't worry. There were $50 socks that Kanye was selling. The merchandise read, Trust God, Jesus Walks. Sunday service.
You pay.
Holy Spirit.
That's insane.
Jesus Walks, you pay. Would be on the other side.
$50 for a pair of socks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind
of
cuckoo.
Rap the new rock and roll. We the real rock stars, and I'm the biggest of all of them.
Okay.
That's how you can sell a $225 sweatshirt.
Absolutely. Kevin, you watched the premiere of Game of Thrones last week.
Yes.
Did you watch number two last night?
Taped it.
You
I haven't watched it yet.
Okay.
Well, watch it today.
In the show,
too
there's
much hockey on.
A ballad that's performed by one of the main dudes, Podrick. Sure. But at the end, Florence and the Machine do the song in the credits. Here's a little taste of the song.
Listen to the angels. Listen to the angels.
Beautiful.
Listen to the angels when they talk on Christmas Eve.
Really pretty.
And Game of Thrones was able to get her? That's amazing.
Listen to the angels. Listen to the angels when you pray on Christmas Eve.
That's actually our friend Linda Pauly from Maine.
Oh, that's not the...
Yeah, that's not Florence and the Machine.
I kind of liked it, to be honest.
It's lovely. It is wonderful.
Oh, but you wanted Florence and the Machine.
Florence.
I see, okay.
They dance through the day and into the night, through the snow that swept through the hole, from winter to summer and winter.
single Jenny of Old Stones.
I love her.
She's so good. Too.
That
She's
sounds
so
good.
Mm-hmm. Agreed, Bean.
I'll allow it.
Well, thank you. And if you're thinking to yourself, oh no, we only have four more episodes before the conclusion of the sixth and final season, where will I get my fix of Game of Thrones stars? Don't worry.
It's a long question.
Mm-hmm. Emilia Clarke will be back. Did you guys hear about this movie when they first discussed it? It's a Paul Feig-directed rom-com called Last Christmas. Listen up, Bean. It okay. stars Emilia Clarke mm-hmm. and Henry Golding. Right? Yeah. That's your man crush.
Yeah, it is.
Henry Golding is straight up babe.
He's way, way pretty.
We now have a date for it, which, first of all, Paul Feig. Yes, please, thank you. Mm-hmm. Number two, Emilia Clarke and Henry Golding.
Right.
Yes, thank you.
Beautiful people.
Number
right?
three, it's a Christmas-themed movie.
Go on.
I mean, you basically just went in my head, and you're like, how do I get your dreams out of here, Allie? Well, now we know. It's feisty. It is a movie. It is coming out on November the 8th. The film is inspired by...
That's my birthday!
Is it?
Yes.
Well, it should be your birthday.
That's just so you know, that's mm-hmm. based on one time I was in a movie theater. Preview played. It was a movie. Then it said directed by, said the name. And then it said releases May 6th. And someone in the audience yelled. Went, that's my birthday.
That's amazing. The film is inspired by the hit holiday ballad by the late George Michael. The movie's called Last Christmas, you guys.
Oh. Right.
I am so pumped for this. Who's with me? That turtle is.
I'm with you. I'll see it.
I mean, I'd like to wait until Christmas time to talk about Christmas movies.
Well, we just found out the date of it, okay. so that's
yeah,
why.
We can be, Kevin, you're excited about the next Star Wars movie, aren't you?
Yes.
That's Christmas time.
It's not Christmas, though.
But you're allowed to be excited about things that are that far away, is
okay.
what I'm saying.
Christmas to me.
I'll allow it.
Anytime there's new Star Wars. Wow. Thank you, Turtle. Some birthdays for you. Jack Nicholson, John Waters, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, Amber Heard, and Machine Gun.
Just want to say I object to this, and I feel like this is a negative.
No, okay. not at all.
No, positive.
Look. And I would just like it noted somewhere. Do we keep notes?
Yeah.
We don't. Okay.
You're reading this into the record.
Okay, yeah.
Look. If something... All right, how do I put this? Let's say somebody's never seen The Matrix. All right, mm-hmm. Kevin? You would be so excited to share The Matrix with them. You would be like, you guys, you cannot believe how great this movie is, this series of movies is. You got to see it. I can't believe you missed it the first time around. Watch The Matrix. Trust me, you're going to love it. That's what this is.
Big
this
Matrix
is...
head over here?
No.
Yeah,
this...
I don't know
no,
why I picked Matrix.
Bad example, please.
Just an example of a great movie that somebody missed, but you would be excited to share it with them because you know they'll love it.
You'd be pumped.
That's how we feel, Allie and I and Chip and the rest of us feel about Jensen having never heard one of the greatest moments in the history of Kevin and Bean.
Ever.
Which just so happened, thanks to our listeners who reminded us, last Thursday, the 18th of April, was the two-year anniversary of one of
that's
the...
That's not a thing!
It's one of the best things.
We don't have anniversaries and moments with.
Well, we should
Let me just say.
We should have this anniversary every year.
Yeah, thank you to Jason Demeskida, who said, just a reminder, tomorrow is the two-year anniversary of Kevin's greatest moment with ever. Hashtag sickle penis story. Hashtag KevDog. Jason, thank you. Because then we mentioned to Jensen, like, you've heard that, right? He's like, I don't think so. Oh, the joy.
And now we all have it set in our phones for the anniversary.
Absolutely.
For every year.
So
yeah,
we'll
that's
never
great.
Forget, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So here's the thing. So when the show comes on at 5:30 a.m., usually I tell a story of something that has happened in the news. We call it The Thing. Well, I was on vacation with this thing. Mm-hmm. Kevin was doing the thing.
Yes.
And doing it well. So here are just some highlights. And Jensen, please try to follow, as you'll hear poor Allie try to follow, as her brain practically melts down with the details of this story of Kevin talking about a very sad incident that happened.
Okay. I'd like to start off today's show with a very, very fine story.
Okay.
Jilted woman cut off her lover's penis with a sickle.
Oh. A sickle? Like a knife is bad enough, but this is a sickle?
A sickle. Before fleeing with it.
The sickle?
Yes. Down the street after he told her he was marrying someone else.
Now, that is a very key moment that we will be coming back to later.
Mm-hmm.
After he told her
makes sense so
he was
far.
Marrying someone else. I'm
That's the last second. He kept quiet about what happened at his girlfriend's home. This is in India, by the way.
Okay.
The police said it was a case of attempted murder and being registered against the 20-year-old girl, who they actually did end up finding, who was a neighbor of the victim. So she was his neighbor, and she was dating him for 4 years.
Okay.
All right, still there. Still in.
Listen to Allie, by the way. She's losing it now.
I'm starting to lose it.
Okay.
Listen to, okay.
Okay.
All right, so she started to go, wait, he's married, but that's his girlfriend, but they're neighbors. Okay, I'm still with you.
Yeah.
I'm still with you.
And she cut off his penis.
Right.
Because he wouldn't leave his wife.
Wait. I need you to tell this story better.
But by the way, I've saved that piece of tape. We'll be playing that for the rest of time.
Kevin, I need you to tell this story better. But you said...
Girl cuts off his penis.
Because he was going to marry someone else, you said.
Because she was going to marry someone else. He was already married and he was a neighbor.
Are you still tracking, Jensen?
No.
It's not possible to still be tracking.
It's not possible. This is quite a circle I've went in.
It's a journey.
Wait. Because, wait.
She was his neighbor.
No, neighbor doesn't even matter, Kevin.
All right, so Allie at this point is just trying to cut through all the extraneous BS. Just stick to the essential facts. I don't need to know what color their car was that they drove, okay?
Neighbor.
They dated for 4 years.
Right.
And then he was going to marry someone else, you said. So she cut off his penis. But now you're saying he's already married?
That he had already been married to other people, yes.
And by the way, I've listened to this like 30 times. I don't get he was married to other people. He's either married or he's not married.
Can I just interject here?
Yes, please.
The reason that you're not getting that is because somebody was missing a page of the story, so he was making things up.
I printed out the story.
It's real!
It's real!
And page 2 completely missing. So at page 1, the very beginning, and page 3, the very end. And by the way, super complex story, too, trying to win.
In his head, he's thinking, oh, I'm just, this is awesome.
What the hell?
This is
also,
great.
Also, now
I'm
that
adding.
I know that, when he's like, yeah, no, absolutely, married to other people.
Yes.
That was my way of saying, don't focus on the fact that he's married now.
Did I tell you they were neighbors?
Okay. All right, so you're winging it.
Yes.
So that makes sense. All right, more again from 2 years ago last Thursday.
So the way she did it was she lured him into a three-way with his wife.
This is
so
mad.
Wife,
okay,
husband, neighbor. So apparently, she was unhappy that the marriage was arranged,
okay,
and that he had married somebody else, and that her marriage was starting to be arranged, and she wanted him. So she,
I'm so confused about her.
What just said
that whole part. All of it was just me talking. Like, I had no idea what was going on.
How is her marriage being arranged?
I was 100% lost at that point. I was just like, and then.
All right, I think Allie's the best in with a question.
Okay. I guess it was a, if I can't have you, no one can.
Right.
It says here, the girl invited the victim to her residence with his wife and cut off his private part using a reaping hook.
The wife was there witnessing this all, or did she have a blindfold as well?
The wife. Okay. The wife wasn't there.
By the way, I would just like to point out that I sound mad at Allie.
Yes,
like
were.
It's her fault.
You were.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so the wife wasn't there,
he's
you guys.
Exasperated with
me. Right, I was upset at you.
All right, I don't know.
We have more.
You're making this up.
I'm not.
I'm not.
I'm just telling you.
He invited him over with the wife for a three-way.
Right, that's what he thought. The wife was there, and the girl, the next-door neighbor, put the blindfold
Kevin,
on.
Kevin, is there a sickle or a penis in this story?
Yes,
are
both.
You sure?
Unfortunately, both.
Kevin, in retrospect, was there a sickle or a penis
there
in the story?
There was a sickle and a penis, yes.
Oh, there was.
We know that's true.
I just don't know most of the...
We know the headline.
I know that happened.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the greatest moments in comedy history. From 2 years ago last Thursday.
Thank you.
There'll never come a year where we don't commemorate that event.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 9:39.
If you have a couple of minutes today or the next couple of days, go over to KROQ.com, Kevin and Bean page, and take a look at the opening act contestants. Who is going to be on the stage first at the Microsoft Theater this coming Friday night? We have 10 contestants up there, all very funny comedians. But you get to choose who opens the show, who's going to be there ahead of Eddie Ift and Jamie Lee and Ray Romano, Greg Fitzsimmons, Felipe Esparza, Adam Ray, and the Kevin Bean Rap Battle. Who opens the show? That's decided by your vote at KROQ.com.
Allie, what's happening?
Well, what's happening is CNN did a report. It's a survey revealing the internet's most vulnerable passwords. and why, if you have any of these, you should be changing it.
Okay.
But it caught the attention of one Mr. Mark Hoppus, who posted the report and just captioned it, "You guys." Because if your password is one of these words or phrases, it is time to change it. Number one on that list, Blink 182.
Number one on the list. Are you kidding?
Of the most popular musical artists.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
still, though.
Yeah, Superman is the most common fictional character. But Blink 182.
Blink 182.
Can you imagine sitting down and putting Superman as your password?
Right.
Blink 182, I have a feeling as to why that would be number one.
Oh, why?
Because you have to mix numbers and letters. Yeah. And people are like, that's the one I'd remember the most.
Absolutely.
That is really smart.
Yeah.
I have Blink plus 44, or whatever that is. It would have been better had I said it right.
You want to give it another round?
No, I really don't.
I have Tekashi 69 as mine.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Who can spell Tekashi? Mm. You're safe.
Yeah. It's a real nightmare.
All right. Nice. This is awful news, you guys. John Singleton, we all know him from, you know, Higher Learning, Boys in the Hood. He suffered a stroke on Wednesday. He's in the ICU under, quote, great medical care. Here is what the family put out. They said, on Wednesday, April 17th, our beloved son and father, John Singleton, suffered a stroke while at the hospital. John is currently in the ICU and under great medical care. We ask that privacy be given to him and our family at this time and appreciate all the prayers that have been pouring in from his fans, his friends, and colleagues. So he was at the hospital when it happened. So,
well, he'd been having
best
some
case scenario,
pain.
No?
He'd been having some pain, I think, is what I heard. Oh, that's what he was there getting looked at and then had a stroke. But yeah, you're right, Kevin. That's where you want to be to have something like this go down.
For sure.
But this is terrifying to me after what happened with Luke Perry and now John Singleton, who's only 51.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about strokes, but I always thought they were for much older people in general. But I guess anybody can have a stroke.
It's very scary.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You understand very little about
that is true.
He was fine one day, then he had a heart attack the next day. These are things that boggle Bean's mind.
I don't
mind.
Get it. I mean, honestly, there ought to be some sort of heads up if you've got this problem.
Right, but there isn't.
I know. They should fix that.
I have a total different problem. When someone gets sick or dies or something, I go, oh, he was so nice. Like, only,
only mean
people
die?
Die, yeah. Luke Perry died. He was so nice.
Yeah.
Oh, the nice guy. They never...
So you're both stupid.
You're both.
Okay. Excellent. Glad we covered that. You guys, when you're Beyonce, you pretty much have your choice of who you want to do business with. Back in the day, she was very much in business with HBO. They put out her 2016 Lemonade film, 2014 On the Run Tour concert special with her husband Jay-Z, and 2013 Life is But a Dream. But they backed out when Netflix came to her and said, hey, we got $60 million to throw your way. She has signed a 3-project deal with Netflix for a whopping $60 million. First of the 3 specials is Homecoming. Of course, that premiered on April 17th. The price tag for that, they're saying, was about $20 million just for that one. So we've got a couple more Beyonce specials coming out on Netflix.
All right. I mean, that is the kind of must-see TV that will cause somebody to go, all right, I've managed to not have Netflix for this long. I'm not going to miss the Beyonce Homecoming. I've got to get it. I'm going to break down. That's what they're trying to do, right, is get more subscribers.
Right.
Sure.
Smart. There you go. You guys, not a great great time for marriages over the weekend.
How do you know?
I mean, hurtful and fair.
I mean, how do you know?
Hurtful and fair. Adele and her husband, Simon Konecki, have separated. Here is what her people said. Adele and her partner have separated. They're committed to raising their son together lovingly. As always, they ask for privacy. There will be no further comment.
They're going to be best of friends, though, right?
I hope so. I hope so. Interesting, a article said that... they apparently signed no prenup when they married in 2016, and they have, you know, quite a lot of money there. She's worth about $145 million. That's not bad.
Wow.
So.
Yeah, but now she has all these new songs that'll come to mind.
That's what a lot of people are saying. Yeah. Real sad, but we're going to get quite the album.
Now, of course, life sucks. You just got to put one foot in front of the other and carry your burdens on your back until they crush you. You don't get on a microphone and cry about it like a little bitch.
Great advice. Very uplifting. Absolutely. Another relationship that bit the dust over a lot shorter amount of time. Michelle Williams and her indie musician husband, Phil Elverum. They've separated after less than a year of marriage. And by less than a year, we found out that they were married last summer and they have been separated since January.
He's a singer for a band called Mount Erie, in case you have heard of him. But this was a surprise to me.
Yeah. You thought they'd have it together.
Like I said earlier, the fact that, you know, she lost Heath Ledger, right? And then waited that long to finally walk down the aisle again. And then to have it blow up so fast was just a surprise. There should have been some warnings that it was coming.
Okay.
It shouldn't have just come out of nowhere.
Okay. Got it.
And I like Michelle Williams. She seems like the nicest person in the world, too.
Lovely. Yeah.
Back to Jensen's argument.
Right.
She's so nice.
She's so good. It
always happens to nice people.
Wait, right. They got a divorce, but she was on Dawson's Creek.
She was so nice. How'd that happen?
Well, it was looking up for another Michelle. Michelle Branch and Patrick Carney were married Saturday night in New Orleans. Where? What's the opera house?
Marini.
The Marini Opera House.
Marini Dungey. She's a fan of the show.
That's Marin Dungey.
Marini. She's a good.
She's a great
I'm
actress.
Not been woman. There, but I understand it's very pretty.
Marin?
The Marini Opera House.
Oh. Marin is very pretty.
Agreed.
And it's true, you haven't been there.
A boy can dream.
The musicians tied the knot in front of close friends and family, including her 13-year-old daughter and their 7-month-old son.
They had a good run. Fun fact, the average American marriage lasts fewer than 2 days.
Wow. I have not heard that statistic. Interesting. You guys, Instagram is testing a way to hide like counts. A researcher noted that when looking at some people's photos, there's no longer a like count. Instead, you see that a post was liked by a few named handles, quote, and others.
It seems like it's been that way for a year, no?
You still see the number of how many likes. Maybe certain ones that you see, they're in the testing. I don't know. But Instagram wrote in an in-app message, "We want your followers to focus on what you share, not how many likes your posts get." So during the test, only the person who shared a post will see the total number of likes that it gets. So they'll see it, but they're...
Oh, I see.
They're fans, whatever. That is going to upset a lot of people that pay for likes. Because really, why? You're paying for the likes. You might as well see them.
As a philosopher once said, I'm nothing without my followers.
It's true.
A great, great philosopher.
And I don't know what are you going to do, man? What are you going to do if your tummy tees... What if you put a picture of your abs and you don't know if it's 200 or 2,000?
Well, if they do keep it to you being the only person that sees your number of likes, I assume that influencers, in quotes, but if you want to get like an ad deal for a tummy tee, you have to then send those insights to the tummy tee people. This is a lot of extra work.
But I want the clout.
You sure do. Like people that pay for likes. Get thousands of likes in about 10 minutes, but very few comments.
What if I post a picture of, like, avocado toast?
Oh.
How will everybody know it's the best?
Why are you talking like
what
that?
What is happening
here?
I don't get it either.
Character. I'm doing character work.
Okay.
This is sad Instagram guy?
Yeah. I'm bummed. I gotta have everybody see my likes.
Is this clout guy?
Clout guy. No, sad Instagram clout guy. All of them together.
I believe in you.
Really been working on that.
It's something I've been workshopping for years.
You know, I mean, come on now.
Yeah, good point. All right. I'm on that guy.
Yeah. Hey, some birthdays for you. John Waters, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, Amber Heard, Machine Gun Kelly, and Jack Nicholson. And that's what's...
You can finish.
Bean wants to say something.
He's got his finger up. I know, but stop the word happening.
No, I was just going to add before Kevin did his thing. Wasn't Machine Gun Kelly
on your drive home today?
Wasn't Machine Gun Kelly, in addition to being in the dirt, but wasn't he also one of the people in the bird?
Bird
box.
Yeah, barely, he was in Birds. Barely, but he was in it.
Yeah. So he's becoming quite the little actor here.
Well worth it. Thank
you. Glad you added that.
Great input.
But what if nobody knows that?
That was Beans. On your drive home today, listen to the commercial-free 5 p.m. hour random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers.
You know what it is? He does not want to get that tattoo. He's like, no, let's keep
that's
talking,
what it is.
Guys. Let's
talk
keep
all
doing
day.
The show.
Oh, that's right.
Tomorrow morning, we will get a tattoo update.
Yes, from the hospital.
The world's worst pregnant couple.
I think you guys are being too harsh on them.
Oh, they're the worst.
I think you're being a little judgy.
They're the
a little
judgy. Worst.
I'm sitting right here.
Yeah. A little judgy.
It's not,
look,
you guys.
Oh, when you're having a baby, the world revolves around you, Kevin. That's what you've forgotten.
And we've got your April Foolishness ringside tickets along with the pre-